This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Across the country, cities are closing streets to cars to encourage socially distanced exercise or to allow restaurants to seat patrons away from one another. Well, now that trend, it has hit Idaho. In Ketchum, 4th Street will soon be off limits to cars. And in Boise, downtown's 8th Street closed today to cars, following a resolution by the city council on May 19th. But this concept has been around for decades, well before the coronavirus prompted Idaho cities to consider it. Joining our show today to talk more about this are Yat Voss. He is Program Director and Planning and Community Design Professor at the University of Idaho in Boise, and Sean Keithley, the Director of Economic Development for Boise Mayor Lauren McLean. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. It's great to be here. Sean,
I want to start with you. Can you talk about how the idea to close 8th Street in Boise to cars came to be? I mean, at the same time, this is something that's kind of been, you know, talked about over the years.
Of course, yes. And, you know, the idea really came about organically through discussions that we had initially in the mayor's office here, as well as within our city council and local businesses and organizations like the Downtown Boise Association. And I think we can all agree that one thing we've learned during this unprecedented time is that we've suddenly been confronted with this new reality, and we're having to look to some creative and sometimes untested solutions to help move us forward and help us come out the other side. So the 8th Street Project was born out of this desire to identify a creative solution for a specific problem, that being that restaurants were given the opportunity to reopen during stage two, but with a much reduced capacity in order to meet the protocols for physical distancing and other guidelines that came out of the governor's office and otherwise. So the opportunity was really there with summer on its way and patio season just beginning. For the idea to come about to use our city asset in 8th Street to support an expansion of the area that restaurants could use to serve the customers. So the area in front of their patios, namely the sidewalk in this case, and 8th Street is ideally suited for this purpose. And it was mm-hmm. just a natural opportunity to try something relatively untested that we could then use as an example for other potential projects around the city.
And Sean, this is not a permanent closure. However, would other leaders be open to this becoming a permanent solution?
I think that's one thing we'll certainly be able to assess as we work, as we get to enjoy this over the next several months. This, you know, again, came out of a desire from the business community to try something, and the city more than willing to work with them to see if there was a way to do this. And so I think if we, you know, over the next few months have this as a successful example of something that can assist businesses during this time as we work through recovery, then certainly I think it's something we can reassess in the future and look to as potentially something we can do again.
And Yop, you study and teach about city planning and design. Can you talk about how closing streets to cars actually might help change the way that we think about the reason for streets?
Sure, thank you. Well, let me first say, I want to applaud the city for doing this. I think this is a great way to show that you're serious about supporting local businesses in these uncertain times. And I really think this might help businesses. So I really applaud the city for doing this. So there's something interesting to me. You know, when we think about city or when we think about streets, we typically think about these conduits for cars. That's what a street does, right? What I like to think about as a street is infrastructure that is designed to provide connectivity. And think about the connector, right? The connector, it mm-hmm. even has the name. It connects downtown with I-84. So if you want to design that street, you create a connector that facilitates safe and effective traffic flow. I would argue that in the case of 8th Street, because I think that's a really good example, the main function is not to connect north and south downtown with each other, but the main function is to connect customers with the businesses along 8th Street. In that sense, that street should be designed to facilitate that specific connection. And again, you know, we can probably argue about what that means exactly. It could mean providing easy parking, slowing down traffic, closing off the street to traffic. There's all kinds of different things, but the main goal to me of that street is connect people to the businesses and promote economic activity in that street.
Well, and it's interesting too, yeah, because when you think of a street like 8th Street, I don't know if it's because of the particular businesses that are along that street. I know, even though when I sometimes drive down 8th Street, it's uncomfortable because it doesn't feel like a street in the traditional sense of how we think of streets.
Well, I like uncomfortable streets if you're in your car. It means it's doing what it's supposed to do, right? And if you think about 8th Street, it is restaurants, right? And I think in restaurants exactly is a really good example where you want to have that kind of feel where you want people to slow down. You don't feel comfortable in a restaurant on a patio when there's cars going 30 miles an hour next to you. So it really is a place where we try to create interaction, and the design of the street can really be done that way. And I think there's another interesting example, right? If you think about the Basque Block, although there is traffic and it's open to cars, it doesn't feel the same as some of the other streets in downtown.
Oh, and you're so used to that street in particular being closed all of the time for events. So it does feel like a street that there isn't a lot of traffic on. So yeah, where does the pushback then come from? Because it's, you know, I mean, because we can even look at streets in Europe, I mean, in other places around the country where they've done this, right? Where you close small sections of streets for more pedestrians and bicycle traffic, right? To move that type of traffic versus allowing a car to go down. So who's doing the pushback on this?
Well, I don't want to blame anybody for this. I think it's the way we think about streets, right? We think about streets, as I said before, about as a way to move traffic, and we want to have safe streets, and we want to make sure that traffic can move through very slow. And I think Front Street is such an interesting example. I hear so many people saying there's so much traffic and I have to stop all the time. And it's really not true, because if you go 30 miles an hour, you can go right through, right? But there's this thinking about that we need to move cars, and that's not what the street is all supposed to be about. So we keep pushing that, the car and being safe. And for some reason in the US, we think that if you mix traffic, you know, if you mix cars with bikes and pedestrians, that doesn't work. But the whole thing is, if you slow down traffic, there is really no reason why we can't all use the street at the same time. And it's like what you said, Gemma, you feel uncomfortable right there.
Yeah.
And you slow down, you're not going to speed up. And it has to do with how you design that street.
Right. And that makes such perfect sense, because I think then you actually pay better attention when you're the person in the big vehicle. And that, if you're just joining us, we're talking with city planning professor Yat Voss and City of Boise's Sean Keith. They were talking about Boise's move to close 8th Street to cars. So Sean, today is the first day that 8th Street is officially closed to cars. But I'm curious about what the response has been, because if I remember correctly, in the previous city administration, there was a survey that went out asking people, just the general public, how they would feel about the closure of 8th Street. And it was a pretty overwhelming yes, that people would be okay with that.
That's right, Gemma. So we had our work cut out for us, and of course, no pressure to get it right on the first day. you know, so far the feedback we've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive. I, you know, literally just got back from 8th Street before I jumped on the interview here, and it's amazing how natural it already feels. And you know, Yap talking about sort of the idea of reimagining this public space. 8th Street is really that type of place where you can do that, and you can really get creative. So I think that folks are reacting to it in a way that is just kind of reflective of the type of space that it's meant to be. So the fact that we can open it up and allow folks to walk and bike down the middle of it and fully utilize those patios, there's really benefits all around to creating that idea of a living street, as well as economic benefit for businesses.
And Sean, can we talk a little bit about logistics? Things like, especially right now with so many people still, you know, wanting to maybe do takeout. So they do things like Uber Eats, but also like food delivery trucks. And then, so how will that work? But then the other piece of it is what about making sure that you comply with ADA requirements as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, in the time we had to put this together, which wasn't a lot, it was a real focus of us to make sure that we did a pretty as comprehensive of an engagement as we could of the broad community that that uses a street for something, whether it be the delivery companies or businesses or the customers. So we put together a group of folks, which included the business community, property owners, also folks from the ADA community, as well as Downtown Boise Association, and did the best we could to address all of the points you just identified there. So pick up, drop off, for example, that's a big part of the new paradigm now that businesses are having to adapt to. So we made sure to make our approach flexible. For example, for the southern portion of 8th Street, we didn't actually choose to close that completely to cars. We implemented some traffic calming measures. We put in more pickup drop-off spots, for example. Some of the retail businesses there absolutely rely on that right now. So we wanted to be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. Also made sure that we had pickup drop-off zones identified for those businesses on 8th Street on the north portion that rely on that for their takeout orders. And then as far as the ADA piece, so we've been working closely with the ADA community as well as folks within our organization to do everything we can to identify those points that are critical for access. For example, we had ramps fabricated, custom ramps fabricated specifically for this effort, and are working to ensure that we do walkthroughs with the community to identify things as we go along. Since it's, you know, it's, we just have to accept it's not going to be perfect on the first day. Right. We're doing everything we can to make it right, but we'll improve as we go along.
And Sean, you mentioned maybe looking at some other streets. Do you have other, I guess, candidate streets in Boise that you're looking at right now?
Great question, Gemma. So yes, the council resolution that was passed on May 19th specifically called out the opportunity for looking at other areas in the city where this kind of thing could happen. So we have been working actively with other businesses around Boise, mostly restaurants, of course, that are interested in approaching their area in a way similar to 8th Street. And again, as Jaap was saying, this is it's going to be an iterative process of reimagining how these rights of ways function and how they can be utilized a little bit differently, specifically with, you know, a business assistance response in mind, but also as a way to help people with, you know, all modes of transportation move through those streets in a way that that can be accommodated. So yes, we're actively looking at that. We're excited about the possibilities, and I think we can look forward to some new ideas coming forth soon. And big credit to the businesses that have come to us with these ideas and with their enthusiasm and energy to make something creative happen.
And yeah, from your perspective, what does a good candidate street look like? I mean, a street that you could potentially do something similar to 8th Street.
Well, I want to confirm what Sean said. It's really important. You know, you need to work with the businesses, and different businesses have different needs. Restaurants. For restaurants, it seems to make a lot of sense that you have more pedestrian traffic and that you calm the street down. For other businesses, it might not make so much sense. So when I think about streets, you know, it seems like Bodo, there might be some place there, or Broad Street. But again, you know, it has to really come from those businesses. They really have to like to do this. They want to try this. They want to see if it benefits their business. Ultimately, the goal is to make it a better place, right? And we have to agree on these kind of things. But I think it starts with this idea, what is the function of this street? What are we trying to connect? Mm. What are we trying to achieve? And then have a discussion with all the stakeholders about what is the best way to achieve that.
I want to thank both of you for taking some time today to talk about this. Appreciate your perspective. And Sean, good luck with everything with 8th Street. It sounds like it's off to a good start. We have been talking with University of Idaho Professor Yat Voss and Boise's Sean Keithley about the City of Trees move to close 8th Street to cars, which started today. Up next, some new research on the sagebrush, sage grouse, rather. I'm Jama Gadet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.